So, how you doing?
Video game hour again. Mario podcast part two.
Yeah, Mario. We had to do a part two because I'm very excited that Mario 3D All-Stars is out. So,
can I tell you something that happened with Mario 3D All-Stars with me today?
Yes.
I don't want anybody to judge me. I bought the digital version, and then I went to GameStop and I picked up a physical version.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think the exclusive limited time only thing got to me.
You were Nintendo's target audience.
Yeah, I think I wanted to... I don't want anybody to rob me of this game.
Because you never know, because these digital things will go away forever.
Yeah, so. that's the controversy with this game, is that they're not just pulling physical copies, but they're actually going to pull the digital copy off the store, which I think is like a kind of a first, where they're doing.
Yeah, I think here's what I think they're going to do is, I think they're actually planning on selling these individually, and they didn't have any games really this year, so they pulled this together because somebody compiled the code, and they saw that they started production on this game in February. So I think it was an emergency COVID thing.
because it does feel a little on the rush side in terms of presentation. I feel like if you ever played like the Mega Man Legacy Collection or whatever.
They have really like the concept curated art.
Yeah, it would have been really nice to get something like that, but I think you're right. I had another thought about how they could have packaged this, which is they could have launched an N64 online and had just Mario 64 in there with like maybe Pilot Wings and Wave Race, like just do like the launch titles basically.
Yeah.
And then sell Sunshine $60 HD.
Yeah.
And then sell Galaxy 1 and 2 HD on its own as well.
Yeah, it's interesting they don't have Galaxy 2. I think it's because it has more pointer controls than Galaxy 1.
I have a complaint about that, which is...
What's that?
Well, one of the things that was most appealing to me about this release was that I'd be able to play the Galaxy games without pointer controls. That I thought they were going to maybe rework the game a little bit to make it, but it turns out even when you're portable, you have to use the touchscreen to collect all the stupid things. And I'm just not into it. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I think that goes into my theory that this was a rush COVID release. Anyway, do you remember when this game first came out?
I sure do.
Mario 64.
This was actually, I was so into Mortal Kombat of all franchises that I was convinced I was going to get a PlayStation, because they were going to release Mortal Kombat Trilogy on that. You could play as Goro and Shao Kahn. And I was like, that's what I want in my life. And then I found out they were releasing that game for N64. And then I saw a Mario 64 demo in Leechmere. I was completely blown away by it. I was like, I can't believe this exists. And then I started getting really obsessed about it, where I was like, wow, imagine like if I had that at home. What would that?
Yeah, I remember first seeing this. It was in the mall. We had a Toys R Us, and they did like this roadshow because it was before the system came out, and they had like rows and rows of TVs, and this was on there, and somebody was fighting like the Ba-Bomb boss at the top of the mountain or whatever, and yeah, I remember seeing it being like. I can't believe this exists.
Yeah.
And of course, like in my memory, it looked like photorealistic, but of course.
I think it was Game Informer magazine. That's what it was. I remember they did like a guide to all 120 stars or something. And they were like the evolution of Mario. And they showed like the pixel one. And then the polygon one. And I was like, wow, he's come so far. Look at him, he's a grown man.
It's true. It's like, and it's amazing that like Nintendo totally broke ground, like especially with the, you know, the even with the camera, like the Lakitu camera there,
yeah,
where they figured out how to communicate this with the audience, and they even gave it a character because it was such a new concept. You had to kind of introduce the concept of a camera.
Yeah, you had to actually acknowledge, you know, like a diegetic camera.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting way, and they thought of it, and it sort of works for the most part.
Yeah, I'll say off the bat here, I always I always zoom out when playing Mario 64. Yeah. I find that if you're at medium distance, you can't.
Now there's this is the warp, right?
Yeah, it actually hurts my eyes. The lag hurts my eyes a little bit more than 2D stuff does.
So
if you're watching, don't watch, just listen.
Yeah. Hey, I'm only going to play this boss, and then we're going to switch over to Frankie.
Yeah, I'm going to play Mario All-Stars today, the original, because, you know, I can't watch somebody play 2D Mario for very long without getting in on it myself.
Yeah, and he's going to show me how to actually multitask, because I am incapable. At least of doing it and winning.
Well, I don't know if I'm a lot better at multitasking than you are. I think somehow there's something about game playing, especially like familiar games, that it doesn't take any brain power. So I can still give my full focus to our conversation, and it's like driving. Do you struggle to have like fully
formed? Driving maybe is a little easier, yeah. But sometimes I'll be cutting a tomato and my wife is like, I'm talking to you. I'm like, what?
I'm focused.
I'm focused. I'm in the focus.
I do. It's interesting. I know some people who can listen to music and work. They can write an email and listen to music. Whoa. I can't do that. I have to pause the music.
Am I like devolving with polygons here? What's going on?
Oh, that's weird.
Do you notice this?
Yes, I see what you see. What the fuck is going on?
I don't think I've seen that before.
Yeah, he got all squid. I got to give the game credit. It does look pretty nice.
Yeah, I think they did. It's a good emulation of the game.
Some people were cheating on it for
maybe being kind of phoned in.
Yeah.
A phoned in emulation of it, basically.
But it's not really, because they actually did up-res every, like, this is, I think the Wii U Virtual Console version of it is lower res.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Well, the Wii U, I don't know, the Virtual Console of Wii, was it Wii U or Wii? The Wii is definitely
Wii is very
worse.
I did a video on this very topic.
That's true. But yeah, what else do I want to say about this game? It's amazing.
Just fun to move around as Mario. At least when I was a kid, I can't tell you how many, like, I would have my friend Will over, and we would just run around the outside of the castle the whole time and dive into shit and swim around. Like, we barely play the game.
Yeah, because it was just so novel. It was novel to just, I don't know, it was just just look at it and be Mario.
And you and I are doing that. We would just like talk about other shit while slamming Mario into like the walls and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard people critique it for like the camera system not aging well and you know the look of it. But I think the look is still really charming, and and I think that the camera system, obviously, maybe if I was 20 and I had never played a game that had such a
great
camera system, but it still feels right to me somehow for the most part.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Mario Sunshine, I never really got. That was never really my thing. I played enough of it.
I didn't have a GameCube of my own, actually. That was part of the problem. Nina ended up getting a GameCube. Like, her brother got her one or something. Like, Nina's got no interest in video games. So I ended up going over to her house a lot, and we would play. I would play Smash and stuff, but... And I had friends who always had a GameCube around to play Smash or Double Dash. Double Dash is my favorite Mario Kart by far.
It is good. I think that's another one that's, I think, unfairly like shit on, because
GameCube has all the best shit though. Like Wind Waker is really good. Melee is good. Sunshine, I think, it suffers a bit.
But yeah, it feels like it was not finished or something.
Yeah, maybe rushed at the end or something. But it looks like there's some fun platforming to be had in it.
So you had a instance of, remember 1996, the N64 was such a hot ticket.
Yes.
And it was during the same Christmas as Tickle Me Elmo, if I remember correctly. And it was a hot item. And I remember asking for it, being like, I'm not getting it because it was so hyped up.
Yeah.
But I did get it. And I think I've seen video of you opening N64. Yes.
I was also, that was the year that Jingle All the Way came out, which is about a dad trying to get the hot toy for his kid. So it was like a good year to do that shtick.
Yeah. So I'm going to stop because just in case it's making people sick. And let's see.
Well, here's mine.
I'm going to switch my camera plugged in.
But how do you full screen? I'm on the wrong thing. Excuse me while I understand technology, everybody. All right, can you see my...
I can see your shit.
Okay, so I guess we'll start where it all began with the game that's been re-released countless times. So you released a video today.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of a surprise, I guess.
I didn't know you were working on something so soon. I mean, since last we spoke, you did GBA Shrek and...
And now
are you having a hard time double tasking, talking to me and watching me play?
No, I was turning on my camera.
Oh, okay, that'd be funny. You were like, I can't fucking watch you play.
Yeah, well, and I just bumped my microphone. Sorry. Kind of. Sometimes if I'm like when we're doing Box Mac in between, I'll be watching the thing and people are just like having conversations and they all pass me by because I'm watching like the YouTube that's on it at the time. What was your question again?
Since last we talked, you released two videos.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The Shrek video finally came out, which was great. It's great that it finally came out. It was well received, I think. What do you think of it?
I liked it a lot. That's like more my speed than anything else, that sort of stuff. It's like the kind of thing I would actually seek out. Not that, I mean, I enjoy everything you make, but I wouldn't typically watch grilling stuff, let's say.
Yeah.
But, just because it's not a hobbyist thing for me, whereas like watching somebody fuck around and try to play, a 144p copy of on their modern TV makes me laugh. And I thought the way you framed David Lynch as being kind of like the moralizer of the piece was really funny.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Because David Lynch was my like inspiration for it. That clip specifically, because I watched that clip. And I was just like, what about the Game Boy Player? And then that's how it all began, really.
Yeah, and then didn't they have a DVD player, too? I think we talked about this on the podcast. Didn't they have, like, for car rides? There was like a DVD combo with a GBA.
Oh, I think there might have been, yeah. I think you're right.
And that's, like, that blows my mind. I want that to this day. I want to sit in the back seat. Big fat me with, like, my kid. And play some GBA.
That was definitely that video was a ton of work. Just to get, and I think I kind of got the same vibe from like Peter Smith, because you have to get all those angles, you have to get all the solder points, you screw up the soldering, so you have to redo it and get a, it's like, it's like a different kind of shoot.
You can't just point the cameras at the things that are happening and then kind of edit them together. You have to, you have to seek out everything that you're shooting.
Yeah.
Which is how you do, like, pretty much all your videos are along those lines.
Pretty much. This was more, just on a macro level, I guess, literally. But, and then the ribs video was just kind of like a, I don't know, decompression, I guess. Yeah. Because I was just like, I need to do something familiar after.
Yeah, it came quick, huh? Or had you been shooting that for a while?
I shot it. I was shooting around the same time as the Shrek video, really. But they, they're kind of, that's why they kind of came out close together, as there were parallel tracks, I would say. And yeah, it's just a good old fashioned rib video. I decided, like, I've done enough of these that I sometimes gloss over what I'm doing. So I was just like, what if somebody's like watching it for the first time? So I kind of slowed down. I told a few more tales, you know, things like that, a little more color. So
yeah, I was impressed that you found the time.
Yeah.
Given everything. Nah,
yeah. It's been kind of crazy. I mean, I won't go into super a lot of details, but my workplace has been sold. So some work turmoil. Like I said, I don't want to get into too many details because I don't know what's public, but but it just causes some uncertainty. But it's maybe I kind of focused on that video to keep my mind off it.
That's a good thing to do. That's how the Plinkett reviews got made.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was out of, I mean, unlike you, he was out of work.
Yeah.
The Klasa, and he was like, maybe I'll just make a video about how I really hate First Contact or whatever generations, I think it was. He's like, I'll just, like, my focus will be that I'm gonna like inventory every single reason this movie is bad. And then, like, once he had written the whole thing, he was like, maybe I should just do that stupid Plinkett voice to make it not so serious. And Empire was born.
Yeah. No, and I'm still working, too. So, because, like, yeah. And I still have work to do. So, but, you know, it's... I've been really feeling the pull to do some creative stuff, especially since, you know, I haven't had that much of an opportunity to do it.
That's good. And, a few weeks ago, I talked about how, you know, I was helping with this app and stuff to try to reopen the college. And so it's been weeks now, and this is all public. We've had 11 positives out of 11,000 tests.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's excellent. And this week, I think it's true, this week we didn't have any new positives.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of that is compliance and, the fact that maybe our students aren't as keen to, you know, it's like the athletics program is essentially not happening this year. And there's a lot of contributors, but it's pretty, I don't know. If you had asked people like a month ago, like, hey, how many positives do you really think there's going to be? Like, I doubt anybody would say
11.
Like, oh, yeah, probably just basically none.
Yeah.
I think they would have tried to convince you that there were many more than that to come.
Yeah.
So that's good. So that means that instead of having to be worried about employment and stuff.
That's good news. It's good news.
I mean, you could always be one outbreak away from, I mean, even if neighboring colleges had a really bad outbreak and the mayor decided, like, you know what, we can't do higher ed anymore.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Or maybe I don't know, there's a huge riot and there's a fire. So.
Yeah, that's all that would have to happen. And then we would have financial troubles and you know, that would be reason for concern. But so far, so good. Knock on wood.
That's good. Yeah.
As we test the hell out of everybody every week. And the technology that I had to put in place has been holding up well. So
great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are people watching your videos or whatever?
Yeah, I actually, it's because the departments that normally would do that didn't do it. I did it. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I was talking to one of the guys who works in that department, and I was like, have you seen my videos? And he was like, oh yeah. He's like, we've been hiring new students. And we asked them, like, you know, have you seen anything that the department has produced? And they're like, oh yeah, those COVID videos. And he was like, well, technically that wasn't us. That was that was the box.
Like, a little embarrassing, but yeah.
Yeah. But he's like, hey, it's like a fan favorite. You know, everybody seems to enjoy it. I'm just wrecking Mario 1 right now.
I know. I'm very impressed. You're doing way better than I did.
we're just gonna make quick work of this game.
You're embarrassing me. My with the llama. It took me 2 hours to get through all these games, and you're going to do it in the first hour.
I was very proud that you got through the third one.
Yeah, and I showed you a secret that you didn't know, so that was enough.
Oh, yeah, it's going the top way?
Getting the white mushroom house in the first.
I just forgot all about that. Yeah, and it's you get all the coins. Is that what you do?
Yeah, you get all coins in world four or the fourth level or whatever.
So yeah, please go ahead.
I don't know. You go. I forgot. You got it.
So the weekend that when we last spoke, it was Labor Day weekend, and I decided at the last minute that I wanted to do something fun with my 3-day weekend. And we ended up going to Salem, Massachusetts.
Nice.
Which is like one of my favorite places ever. And, you know, if we don't get to go around the Halloween season, at least we got to go now. So a couple things. We stayed in a fairly expensive hotel that was like right there. But normally you would have to, if it wasn't COVID season, you would have had to book that like a year ago.
Yeah.
And we were able to book it that weekend. It was $350 to stay at this. It was the Salem Waterfront Hotel. And so it's right there where you can walk to all the shops and stuff.
So still not cheap, but.
Not cheap, but you could actually book it is the difference. Yeah. Look at this. I got the fire flower. Everything.
You're blazing through.
Yeah, this is just gonna, but you know.
You can argue mine was more impressive because I got through all of it with small. you did it.
And then they drop a
See you in hell. See you in hell, Bowser.
See you in hell, Bowser. So long, King Bowser.
So long, gay Bowser.
What did he actually say in the original?
I think he says so long, King Bowser, but so compressed that people thought it sounded like so long, gay Bowser.
I always thought, until you told me that, my entire life, I thought they said so long, me Bowsy.
Yeah, which, you know, he's kind of like colorful Italian.
If that was Italian, me Bowsy?
Me Bowsy? Like, I don't know. Like, he's kind of affectionate toward him. Like, he's, you're my Bowser.
Oh, my little Bowser.
My Bowser. Yeah, it's kind of Irish, but that's fine.
Hi, Chichai.
Now we're already on to two. We're already on to two.
Yeah, well, look, we don't have all night.
Oh, gosh. That stings. Burns.
So we went to Salem, and I got a lobster omelet at the hotel, and I know that's like what's the point of this story? It just was so goddamn good. I haven't had like really really yummy food in a long time, and that was a treat. I should have gotten that. What are the cherry? All the cherries do is get you a star, right?
Yeah, if you get a certain amount. Forget the exact amount.
And then we went to one of the best things about Salem is they have like two really nice comic book shops. They have one that's shit. I can't remember what it was called. There's one that's in the mall, and then there's one that's down the street. So they're not far from one another, and they're all around the kind of main square called Haunted Happenings, which they're not going to do this year. And one of them is giant, one of them's kind of small, but they're always a lot of fun. They often have like local artists and stuff. If Freddie is ever in Salem, get him over there. But they also have a video game store called Game Zone that I think I've mentioned on this pod because it was basically featured in Not For Resale. The documentary about game stores and stuff. And the guy who owns it is like a real character. He's like very Massachusetts. And awesome. And he happened to be there. And I, you know, he was like striking up conversation with everybody. He's being really nice. And so I was like, hey man, I saw you in a documentary called Not For Resale. And it was a wonderful documentary. And you know, I really appreciated your perspective. And he talked to me for like a half hour. He was so nice.
Wow.
And he has a lot of, you know, like I've been to a lot of retro video game stores and they tend to have a lot of the same stock. And he has a lot of original stock. He has like a lot of Sega CD games.
Oh.
And like, I think he was carrying a few ROM hacks and stuff like on cartridges.
That's always fun. I love that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So That was really cool. And he had, it turns out he was selling copies of the documentary. And he said that the guy, the director's name, who it happens to be Kevin James. he said that he actually lives nearby, and that's kind of why he made the movie. I guess Kevin did corporate videos for, I don't know, what's the big gas, the mobile gas, I think.
Oh yeah.
And then he said he wanted to do a feature film, so he took some time off and he went around the country and found every game store he possibly could and made a cool documentary. And so he signed my copy and off I went. And but really, really nice guy. I was really proud of him.
Utilizing that shortcut with the long jump.
Yes.
On the ninja.
Because you don't need to collect every heart, let's be real.
If you're actually talented at this game, you can get there.
So I'm playing this on my Mac with an emulator. Before we started recording, I was really struggling to get any kind of emulation working on my Mac, but OpenMU seems to be the answer.
That's good. Yeah, but that was what I used last
time. I'm running macOS Catalina, and like no emulator was compatible with it except for this one. But I'm playing with a real SNES controller with a USB adapter.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it feels really good. Like I've been playing the GPD a lot, and that feels good too. But this is extra. This is like nothing beats this.
Yeah. I was just playing with the Pro controller on the Switch, and it's great. It's just so comfortable.
I bought one of those tonight.
Oh, really?
When I was buying my superfluous copy of 3D All-Stars. I didn't go in there planning to do that, by the way. I needed to buy a new Joy-Con. I needed a new left Joy-Con because when I was playing Ring Fit Adventure, I snapped off some of the fucking plastic on the back of it. So I was like, it turns out to buy a new... all I needed was the left one. I probably should have bought a used one, but I go in there expecting I'm going to get one, and a pair costs $70.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. But there's a lot of technology in them.
So while I'm there, I'm like, well, cause I apparently the Pro controller has the, you like in Mario Galaxy, you can do the pointer stuff with the,
you can do it with the Pro controller.
I was like, all right, maybe I'll get one of those. So that's another $70, I think. And then I'm like, oh, you're all sold out of Mario 3D All-Stars, right? He's like, no, we got plenty of them.
I think everyone's buying stuff online. So if they can't get it online, they just like, it's sold out, but nobody goes to stores anymore. So
let me tell you something, man, like tell you something you already know. Shopping at GameStop, first of all, not fun because it just feels like they're hanging on by a thread. And so just everything is just, like, can I help you buy anything today? And
you're like Funko Pops coming out of their ears.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, actually, do you have this? And they're like, nope. They never have the thing I want. And then when it's finally time to pay, if I really am going to buy something basic, they're like, would you like a $20 a year protection plan for that SD card? You know, like, I'm like, no, fuck you. Okay, would you like a pro... blah, blah, blah. I bought a Pro controller, Joy-Con, and a game. And it was like I was opening a bank account.
Like, well, yeah, they have to go through the whole script, you know? They have to go through all the upsells.
You know what I'm going to do next time I'm in that situation? I don't know if it'll work. It probably won't, actually. But I think I'm going to say, I'm just paying with cash today, and nothing else is happening. I have money. I'm going to pay for all this with money.
And, nothing else happened. No memberships, no power clubs, no nothing.
None of it. None of it's happening. So forget it. Let's just finish this up. My chip on my card is probably going to not work. So let's get through that. Do you want it? God damn it. Do you want do you want a bag of Doritos this week with your
purchase? Some Halo Doritos. They're Halo flavored. Doritos? Tastes like Master Chief. And he's like, no, I can't. I don't want that.
No. But I got there's
this part's tough. You got to do some ballerina skills.
Somehow it's just not going well for me. I think I got to go faster.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta just not think about it. You hesitated. You gotta just go for it. This is all very good advice coming from a master player.
Yeah, now I feel like I can't multitask.
The pressure's on.
This is the battle, truly. There we go.
Anything else going on in this world?
Well, this week I introduced Gloria to Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, sweet.
And I love Pinky and the Brain. And the reason it was on my mind was because Animaniacs released a teaser.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Their upcoming Hulu show.
Oh, I know, like, Nickelodeon's doing the Nicktoons, or Netflix is doing Nicktoons.
Yep.
And so Animaniacs is going to be on Hulu.
That's right. And it's not a, you know, it's not a remake. It's not like the way they did DuckTales, for instance. It's just like more Animaniacs.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's
with awesome. That HD looking animation, but it more or less looks like Animaniacs, and they got all the original voice actors back, and it should be a lot of fun. So it was on my mind, and ironically, we didn't really watch a lot of Pinky and the Brain proper. We watched, I don't know if you remember this, Pinky Elmira and the Brain.
Yeah, I do remember that. It's
looked down upon, but I'm here to tell you and anybody who can hear the sound of my voice, it's fucking great.
No, I remember it being funny still, but it was just like random.
there's this scene that we've been quoting all week where it's like Brain gets the, well, do you know the story behind Pinky Elmira and the Brain? I could tell that.
Just go through it.
They apparently, like, Pinky the Brain had been on the air for a few seasons, and the studio, you know, WB, thought that, like, it was the formula was getting kind of tired. So they were like, we really need a third character, like, you know, some other foil to Pinky and the Brain. And the creative team hated that. So they made this parody episode of real Pinky and the Brain called Pinky Larry and the Brain.
I remember that. Yeah. And Larry.
Yeah. And Larry. And Larry. They were just kind of mocking the idea of adding a third character. And then apparently they got their way. They were like, no, but seriously, you need to do a third character. So they picked Elmira.
Tiny Toon. It's like the most like an annoying character.
And yeah, well, it somehow comedically, oh my God, what's going on? Comedically it works because she's not that different from Pinky, really, when it comes down to it. So like the two, like, and in a lot of ways, like, it's kind of what Pinky has always wanted. And the other thing that's funny about it is, so for those who don't know, those who never saw Tiny Toon Adventures, Elmira is this character who kind of just like loves animals too much. She like squeezes them and kind of tortures them, basically. Like, animals are very afraid of her. And she's got this, like, yeah, this really obnoxious loud voice where she's like, oh, my little pussy wussy man.
That's a good impression.
She calls Brain, what is it, Cranky Big Head Mousy. Like, oh, my Cranky Big Head Mousy. Yeah, in this series, she lives next door to a boy named Rudy, who's like her crush. And so everything is like, oh, look who it is, my little Rudy Pooty Catootie. But yeah, it's the Brain is now contending with two complete morons. It's just really funny. So there was, yeah, the thing we were quoting all week was she entered a spelling bee. She can't spell for shit. She's complete, like, the dumbest person you've ever met. Like, dumber than Pinky, basically. Like, she was doing her spelling homework, and she had to spell giraffe, and she was like, C-T-Q. Aw, Q's are so cute. I'm going to spell giraffe with lots of Q's. But Brain gets it in his head that, like, they can win $5,000 from a spelling bee if they cheat and help her win a spelling contest. Oh, good. I needed that. I could have used two cherries, though.
Yeah.
So he has to like call out the right answers from the audience while she's on the stage. So he's trying to make the right answers sound like casual conversation. She's up there and she has to spell the word absurd, and Brain goes, A-B-S-U-R-D. And then she has to spell poppycock, and he's like, P. Oh, Pee-pee. Why? And Pinky overhears this, and he's like, oh, I get it, Brain. I see pee-pee too. Why? Oh, why?
I remember that show being like legitimately hilarious, to the point where you're like, yeah, my dad would watch it with me. He's like this is funnier than like adult shows.
Yeah, I think like some of it is like Simpsons level. Yeah. So it's been great to just like cuddle up with her and watch like a bunch of episodes of Pinky and the Brain laugh our asses off.
And I do love when Brain does the Orson Welles bit with the
so the
peas and all that.
Yes, always. And that's where comes from. I love it. He'll do that like very spontaneously in an episode, or he'll be asked some question. He's like, yes. You just tell that the creative team on that was having a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I can totally sympathize with that. Like, they're probably obsessed with that, like, outtakes video, just like I was obsessed with that David Lynch clip.
Oh, totally, yeah. I can't believe, on Animaniacs, they actually just did the whole thing.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And they, like, didn't they did something with it, because he swears at some point.
Yeah, he says, like, give me a jury that says, in July, and I'll go down on you.
Yeah, right.
He has to say, I'll make cheese for you.
Yeah.
I actually tried to show her that segment, and she was like, fuck this.
Yeah, it went over my head as a kid, too, and I think it's kind of supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, please just humor us while we make fun of our Orson Welles cartoon. But it's been a lot of fun to watch that. And the animation really holds up, too. It actually looks
good. Yeah, that all those Saturday morning ones, like Freakazoid was great. All those ones were so good.
I was watching, I got to watch more Freakazoid, because I never like dove into that the way I did Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain.
I remember it being very funny, but I don't think it would lasted very long.
Yeah, there's like a season. I know, I've cut the clips from it on Boxmack of Tim Curry's character in it,
who's
just completely like, he just says Tim Curry. There was a, have you seen Moana? Oh shit, I'm gonna die.
I haven't. I know, you know, I have a niece and she's always like singing stuff from it, but there's one song, this is my only thought, is there's one song where all I can hear is daughter, 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 water, water, daughter, daughter, water, daughter, 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 water. That's what it sounds like to me.
I've been staring out at the water. Yeah, so I have a
daughter, girl. Water.
It's not a bad movie. It's pretty good. But there's a villain in it, briefly. He's like just a monster that they encounter named Tomatoa. He's a big crab monster with big crazy eyes and a He's voiced by one of the dudes from Flight of the Conchords.
Jermaine.
Yeah. And he, it's really weird because he's so clearly a Tim Curry type.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it almost feels like Tim Curry voiced so many flamboyant animated villains in the 90s. it now, like, you know, like a Tim Curry animated villain type exists.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even really need the real Tim Curry.
Yeah, you need. Yeah, there is a. Well, he's still alive, but he's like, he's not doing stuff.
Stroking out big time.
Yeah. Ah! that was close. Oh, you got it. You're dead.
Oh, there was that much lag.
Yeah, that's pretty. There's a lot of lag, but that's okay.
Is it tolerable?
No, I mean, I got it.
Should I do something about it? Can't do shit about it.
You can't do shit about it. I'm like connected to Ethernet actually. So.
Oh yeah. So you did a stream the couple weeks ago. It was you editing the Shrek video.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of fun. I think I'm gonna like clean it up and put it on like the Clips and Pod channel or whatever.
Oh, that's a fun idea.
Because I don't, yeah, I just don't want to clog up our main channel. But
I want to clog it up.
But yeah, I don't know. It just, yeah, it was fun. It was fun to do that. I might do it again.
I do want to point out that I'm on 7-1.
Yeah, you are. You are on 7-1. And so no pressure.
Yeah, things didn't go so hot last time.
No pressure.
You got all the way to Wart, though, as I recall.
I think I was one veggie away from. This game is gorgeous. Like, I do love this game.
Yeah, I really think that the Doki Doki Panic thing ended up working out.
Yeah, it's funny when, you know, when this game came out when you're a kid, like when I was a kid, it was just like, oh, look, it's more Mario. It's weird, but whatever.
Yeah, it didn't faze me. In fact, I thought they were really creative. It's like, oh, now you can play as Toad and Princess, and this is great.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, it's great stuff.
I wonder if
it kind of made sense because they did that with a lot of sequels, because like Zelda 2 was way different.
Right.
And then from Zelda 1. So I was just like, oh, you try something new on the sequel. That's what you do.
Yeah, because there wasn't really like a lot of precedent for what a game sequel even had to be.
Yeah.
Like on one hand, yeah, you're like, oh, maybe does it need to be identical to the last one? like with the Japanese Mario 2? Or on the other, or is it like, yeah, should we do something utterly different?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I want to talk about?
Yeah.
So James Rolfe came out with a video today that made me wet. It was him talking about his fan edit of Kill Bill.
Oh.
He did a fan edit of Kill Bill. And he can't show it for legal reasons, but he could talk about what he did and what his editing decisions were.
Oh, that sounds way up my alley too.
Yeah, it's totally my sort of thing. And he talked a little bit about like the art of the fan edit and stuff, which is kind of fun. But yeah, I really like the decision. I actually at first was because the objective of his fan edit was to. I just gotta kill Birdo here, even if I have to take the hit. His objective was to cut both movies into one movie, and then cut the whole thing down to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first heard that, I was like, "This isn't gonna work. Like, you can't." You're not going to get the same epic out of it. Now, of course, I haven't seen his cut, but I get the sense that what he described will work pretty well. I was also afraid that he was like, oh, yeah, like we're going to put it all in chronological order now and that'll fix it. And I was like worried he'd miss the point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he made a lot of narrative decisions that actually kind of increased the impact. Mm. So it's a great video. Now, the irony of the whole thing is that I have done a fan edit of his movie.
Yeah, right.
Of the Angry Video Game Nerd movie. It was something, before we had a YouTube channel, I sometimes had a little bit of capacity to do things that aren't related to Boxmack. And I did it completely for myself. Yeah, it's not really available anywhere.
I remember we were talking about it, yeah, and... I think I've only seen like parts of your fan edit. I've never seen the real movie.
Yeah, it's not good. He didn't make a good movie, unfortunately, which makes you wonder like, oh, is he not going to edit Kill Bill very well then? And I guess the difference is that he didn't write and direct a Tarantino movie.
True.
So, I mean, if you did that, you know, you get a starting place.
Ah, that's where the
yes, mushrooms. I remember watching you struggle through here without a mushroom and thinking.
That's where it was. Oh, of course. I was just barreling ahead.
Well, yeah. You basically have to go the long way to get it, though, is the problem.
Mm.
If I had kept going on the conveyor belts at the beginning, you can get through it faster. But I think for Wart, you're going to want a mushroom.
Yeah. I definitely did.
Yeah. So his cut of his movie of the Angry Video Game Nerd movie is 2 hours, and I think that that's ridiculous. I also think that the script just sucks. I mean, he added in like all these other characters that have nothing to do with anything, and they don't work anyway. Like it's just, I cut out so much of that movie, and I kept wowing myself with like, oh wow, you lose most of the movie and none of the movie is lost. It's really weird.
Yeah. Is there anything else you're working on?
So that day that we shot the Utz cheese balls thing, that was a shoot with two unboxings. They were pretty like kind of deluxe unboxings, and then three kind of big episodes of Box Mac. And so I had been, it's now getting later into September, and I'm kind of feeling like a lot of stress that I should start, get to work on Halloween stuff.
Right.
But I didn't want to really dive into that until I knew that all these other Box Macs had been edited and were in the can. So that was done as of yesterday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm ready to, our plan is to parody like those movies, like Unfriended.
Right. Right.
Which is, it's like, oh my God, it's a horror movie, but the whole thing is, on Skype or whatever. And given that EJ is, it's tough to come over here. And plus like, it just feels with the Backtrash webinar that was so funny. Is normally with the Box Mac Halloweens, I try to kind of tie it into something that we did earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we had done Utz cheese balls a little earlier, maybe it would have been about that. But
right.
But I think especially with this year being the big COVID year, it feels like doing like an Unfriended kind of thing. It just feels right. So yeah. I have to watch that movie. I haven't seen it.
Oh really?
Yeah, I definitely don't know what it is. And there's a sequel too called Unfriended Dark Web.
Right.
So I'll watch that and I'll take notes, and probably Nina and I will sit and watch it and write, a story together, and then I'll go off and write the actual script. And then we'll pick a day. And as far as the Box Mac, because we always have to do a Box Mac segment, I was thinking of doing like a Harvest Mac, like with sausage and peppers, something like that.
That sounds delicious. I want it. I made a sausage mac like for one of the mix-ins, but it was just like base. It had Cracker Barrel base, and I just put some Italian sausage in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and of course, every year I try to do more Halloween content. So the staples at this point have been the snack tasting, which we've bought a tremendous number of snacks. I last year I thought maybe we would start having a hard time finding snacks, but I found tons of them.
They keep coming out with new ones.
They do. Target in particular seems to have like a lot of their own brands, we talked about going to Aldi, doing that like the Aldi's retake Junt's cart and picking up the Halloween snacks for them, but I don't know that that's going to happen. So maybe we'll do it next year. But there's of course my mom's costume thing, and I don't know, Gloria has been a little bit tricky about that. She wants to be a girl spider, and I think that would be great actually, but she's like, no, I want to be a witch again, and she starts like kind of crying and saying like she really wants to be a witch. So yeah. She's insist on that. We can't really make content out of like the same costume. But we do, there's a corn maze near my town that is having like a Halloween party, so that might be content. My dad also had this idea of like he wants to build a scarecrow of some kind. And so maybe we'll do something a little different this year. I'm struggling to get veggies in this dude's mouth.
It's tough.
It is a little tough.
I like you play Link's Awakening. Wart has a cameo in that.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because it's like the only other content that has Wart.
Yeah, they should have just called him Bowser at that point. Like,
yeah, I think he looks cool.
He does. I like him. Oh, look at that! I beat Mario too.
Oh, you did what I couldn't do. Yeah, but Gabriel wants to be a monster for
nice.
I was thinking like a green monster with horns and like. I don't know. like a put a bunch of glue a bunch of eyes to his hat or something.
You always take great photos of him around this time.
For the last year he wanted to be a ghost like again, but this year he wants to be something new.
Nice.
He wants to be a monster.
I want to do another no views, of course. Pirate Pizza review, you got to do those. So that's the itinerary, basically. You're looking at it. That's my text edit file on my screen.
I have a couple ideas. I actually don't have anything in the can right now. It's the smokeless grill. I want to do that one. This is something I wanted to do for October on this theme of Halloween stuff. Mm. I wanted to do pumpkin spice ribs.
Oh, I like it.
And I got the, you know, I got a pumpkin coffee, and I was just thinking like, what could I do? And I was like, oh, maybe I'll just do a pumpkin spice ribs and make up a weird recipe that maybe no one should ever make. something fun.
There was we were looking for a good coffee for Nina while we were in Salem. And we went into this little place that smelled great. It was packed, unfortunately. And I heard somebody up at the front go, "Do you have like pumpkin spice?" And the barista goes, "Everything."
It's like, yes.
Muffins, fucking.
Yes.
Yes, always. Pumpkin spice everything, Pinky. And that was the other sad thing about Salem, was like every other shop was closed.
I was thinking about that when you were talking about the game store, because so I bet a lot of those game stores have gone under with COVID.
Yeah, this guy was really, as part of our conversation, he was really confident that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's great.
He was like, look, like, he's like, this past weekend has been as busy as it ever is. He was like, you know, as far as whether or not the games are going to retain value.
Ostro.
Ostro.
It's Birdo.
He felt that they're going to continue to retain value, that even physical copies of games released today, like Link's Awakening and stuff, are going to keep retaining their value. And, you know, so I don't know. He felt like he wasn't going anywhere, I guess.
Great.
But a lot of places were, I mean, you know, it's an historic town, and a lot of places had signs that said, thanks for the last 100 years. And
that's sad. That's crazy. It's like, I laugh because it's like, what?
Yeah.
But it's a bummer that this, you know, so basically the whole year is gone.
Yeah. And I mean, these places won't reopen, you know, like why would they? But one thing that was fun was there was this little shop that sold like pet, you know, like toy snakes and witch stuff, and Gloria found this bubble wand that had a pumpkin on it, and it just like this thing, just you turn it on and it just sprays bubbles.
That's awesome.
And we got it for, it was like $13 or something, and she sat on my shoulders and we walked around downtown. And she was just bubbling everybody. And any kid that walked by was like, why am I not that kid?
That's awesome.
We got some nice photos of it and stuff. So good. A little memory making, you know, it's you said it, you're like, man, this COVID thing just keeps taking memories away and stuff.
I've realized I haven't like taken that many pictures of my family this year. I'm like, oh, it's because we don't have events. We don't go places. We don't, you know, it's like, It's pretty, yeah.
I'm more thankful than ever that we bought that playground outside.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got a few, like a slide and a few things, and you know it's better with those things.
Yeah, for sure. Oh man, I got a fire flower instead of a star.
I don't know. Sometimes you gotta go full speed and you gotta hit it just the right time.
But I've gotten my share of star cards. I always forget that this game, the whole conceit of it was that it was meant to be like a theater.
Yeah, it's not as strongly telegraphed as
it's almost like it's a theme that they came up with early on and that they kind of abandoned.
Yes.
And then it's still sort of in the game.
Yeah, because in the beginning the red curtains open up, and you know, sometimes you can see things that look sort of like stage like, or things are hung up or whatever. But
it's how every level ends with like you're exiting kind of stage right, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting. Like, they kind of did that to more effect in one of the Paper Marios, I believe. Like the GameCube Paper Mario.
I never really played those games, but I feel like maybe I would enjoy them.
Yeah, they're like RPGs for people who don't really care about RPGs.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a little more accessible. It's like Stick of Truth. Have you played Stick of Truth?
Yeah, I enjoyed Stick of Truth. I didn't always love the RPG element of the turn-based fighting and stuff. But I only played a little bit of the other one, Fractured Butthole, because I actually thought that they were going to make the combat a little bit more fun, because they did like this grid-based thing. Mm-hmm. And I ended up finding it kind of more, I'm going to say boring, and by that I mean like, I don't know, I don't really find it. I don't think like you have to be super skilled to win like a turn-based.
Yeah.
Fight. It feels like, oh, let me just do it again. It's getting so, you know, because I lost again. Mm-hmm. I just hate it. I hate it. And I stopped playing the game, which I thought was really funny and I was really enjoying, because I was like, I can't get past this one stupid part.
Yeah, I thought I haven't played the second one, or the Fractured Butthole. Yeah. I played the first one. I thought it was fun. I think Paper Mario, especially the GameCube Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, is probably like one of the best games. It's so good. It's one of the greats, and
people like the N64 one, don't they?
The N64 one's definitely good. I think the second one for the GameCube is probably the best of the whole series.
GameCube is just like, I feel like, GameCube is a great system.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, definitely. But it suffered because a lot of people didn't support it.
Why didn't they? That's weird.
Including like Nintendo, because again, they were doing both Game Boy and GameCube, so I feel like that splits their focus. And now that they have the Switch, I guess the Switch is like selling more than anything has ever sold. It's like it's doing really well. It's selling out even like right now. Like you can't get it at places.
Yeah, every time I go to Target, they don't have any.
And so it's I think that's the key, is when they're not splitting their focus like they used to.
You mean like portable versus?
Yeah, because they develop like large games for both, basically.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, that maybe there's truth to that. I was gonna say, well, it's not like, I mean, Wii sold a lot, but maybe the gimmick got them that far.
Yeah.
I mean, for a minute there, before Switch came out, it really looked like, you know, they were gonna throw in with mobile gaming a bit more, and then Switch was so successful, they were like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. They were testing the waters with like Mario Run and stuff, but then the Switch took off, and there's like, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty impressed. I remember maybe it was like a year or two ago, the first time I had real impact about like how much people love the Switch, because I like the Switch, you know, it's cool, but I'm not like insane about it. I'm also 34, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
With a kid, but I was at work, and I was at like a student job orientation, and they were doing one of those things. It was like 60 people in the room, and they were doing one of those things where you got to go around and say like where you're from. And they wanted the QT question was like, and what is your favorite piece of technology? And one kid after another said the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
And not just that, but they said, like, my Nintendo Switch is my favorite piece of technology. And then they would be like, well, my favorite piece of technology is my Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
I guess my point is there was like a lot of personalization around the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Like they felt as though it was like an important accessory of their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
which you know people feel about their iPhones. So I would actually think it would be really challenging to make people feel that way about any other portable device. But the Switch is just unique enough from a phone as a portable gaming device. I guess I can see it.
Yeah, they nailed it. And I don't know where you go from here. I think they'll just make a more powerful Switch. I think that's...
Yeah, I don't know if you can really do much better. I mean, that's kind of what I liked about GameCube was it wasn't trying to fuck around. It was just like... We're more powerful and smarter now about 3D gaming than we were with the N64. Let's give you some good stuff. It's going to be a video game with a controller. It's a great system.
Yeah, this might be like controversial, but or maybe it's not. I think like I don't really need much better graphics than like the GameCube.
I do personally kind of insist on HD, but outside of that,
well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like even like that kind of minimal graphics and like HD is probably all I need because they announced these like new systems and everyone's pre-ordering them, the PlayStation 5 and all that. And I was just like, what else can you give me? Like, what else in the graphics department Definitely. Do you really need?
It really feels like you're ripping me off at a certain point, or it's like, what, the Xbox One isn't good enough for like an Arkham game or whatever? Like, really?
Yeah, and it's like
a graphics game.
Yeah, like I heard like two of my nephews like arguing about like which console have better ray tracing. I'm like, are you kids serious?
Like, what happened to bits?
What happened to we back then? We had 8 bits and 16 bits, and we were happy.
Yeah, bits were it, man. And now you're talking about, what is it?
Ray tracing?
Ray tracing.
I don't know.
Look at that. If I was a speedrunner, I would be a lucky boy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right into this level with no safety net.
Oh, I totally cheesed it, and I was happy. I was happy to cheese.
Happy to eat nibble on cheese.
I'll make cheese for you.
I'll go down on you, Pinky.
Fingerprints.
No. Fingerprints.
Oh, yeah.
Fingerprints. Come on, man. You psychos thinking.
Snuck it in.
That one that I just got hurt on is like the one that you always get hurt on.
Yeah.
Or at least I do.
I just peed my nose.
All right. Let's get serious.
Oh, no. That's the problem. That's the issue. You die at that thing and you got to risk this again.
You got to get handsy again.
Yeah, you get handsy. And you get the fingerprints.
You get... Prince fingers you. Wait, that's a little more explicit than I meant.
Yeah, well... This is the Patreon podcast.
We're gonna be the loud part quiet and the quiet part loud.
That's a pretty good Krusty. You do the Simpsons raspy voices very good.
Yeah, apparently that's what I'm capable of.
Marge Simpson and Krusty the Clown.
I was trying to nail the Marge Simpson one again the other day, and I don't know, maybe my voice has aged past it. I couldn't quite do it as well. Coffee.
You could replace her and you'd probably sound better than what she sounds like now.
Yeah, because she sounds like an elderly person.
Yeah.
That show is at this point, like, I don't even know what to say about it. Like, what can you...
It's so unlike the thing that I grew up with that I can't even comment on it.
And how many times do you think that the fuck you. How many times do you think the writer's room is like, come on, guys, we got to get back to our roots and we got to like see if we can recapture the magic? Like, I bet that's happened a billion times.
Yeah, I think it happens every episode, but they can't do it.
So, yeah, well, because it's like, oh, are we not geniuses? No, we're not. So we can't.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just like the ship has sailed on The Simpsons. It's just gone.
You know, I should have learned from last week or from 2 weeks ago, but I I have low battery, so I'll be right back.
Oh no!
I have to. Because of the emulator, you got a vamp.
I got a vamp by myself without playing a game and commenting on it. I don't know. What else do I have to talk about? Oh, I was thinking this is something Frankie will just tune out anyway. I was going to another idea for a video of cooking. I was going to get a whole packer brisket from Walmart. And I had the idea of, you know, because all these competitive people, they like trim the brisket and they inject it with all sorts of injections and stuff like that. They do all sorts of things to it. I was going to just get a brisket at Walmart, take it out of packaging, put some salt and pepper on it, and then throw it into the grill and not wrap it, not do anything, just wait until it's done. I think that would be a fun thing to do. It would be a different take because I got the idea because there's a famous barbecue chef who did a Walmart brisket. But he tried to make it as the best he could with all these, yeah, the injections. And it's Harry Sue is the barbecue person. And so I want to do a video that's the opposite, where I do as little as I can to the brisket and see how it turns out. Anyway, I was vamping.
Nice. Thank you. When you said Harry Sue, I almost thought you were being sexist.
No, it was it's a barbecue guy. He's a famous barbecue man. He's Asian.
Why do you just call men Harry Sue's? Blake! I'm sick of losing this level. I'm sick of it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Now it's not going to work. Oh, here we go. We're okay, folks.
That
always
yes. Boom boom. I always liked boom boom.
Yeah, because he's so damn easy.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's
there'd be a great deal of shame in losing to a boom boom.
Oh yeah, if you lost the boom boom after all that,
right? Like somehow, like he, like I
would just
allow him to follow on.
I would disconnect from Zoom. I'd just be so like disgusted.
Goodbye. The AOL thing.
For some reason that plays.
You got mail. They got so much shame for some reason.
Tom Hanks pops out and says, "You got mail."
You know, that's a Thanksgiving movie. So like last year we watched it a bunch of times around
the- Oh, he did.
Well, Nina really likes that movie for some reason.
I literally didn't I saw it once in theaters actually. And then I don't remember anything about it.
Gene Stapleton is in it. The Edith Bunker.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow,
this is a surprise to me.
It's like the.
Come on. Oh.
Anything? Oh, you know, I've been watching a TV show.
Nah.
A television show. It's on HBO Max. I think I got to get my streaming services in line. Yeah, it's HBO Max. It's called Raised by Wolves. The first episode, they always do this. This is what they do nowadays. The first episode is directed by some big name. So the first director episode is directed by Ridley Scott.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of sets the tone for the whole thing. So it's like Ridley Scott, think Prometheus, think, is it Oblivion? Is that the name of it? It's, you know, it's those kind of sci-fi things. It's very interesting. I think this is probably one of the more interesting TV shows I've seen in a while, because one, it's not about like, I don't know, race relations in the context of some other genre.
Yeah. Like, huh, that again.
Which is fine, but you know. It's fine, but you know, it's just this show has diversity, but they don't talk about it, and I love it.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. Kind of thing for sure.
It's like, it's just, they're all good actors. They all do their work and they don't comment about race. it's about, all sci-fi, there's a war on Earth that makes it unsustainable. And so the factions are like, kind of like a very, like a Catholic Church kind of faction and like diehard atheists, and they both suck. That's what's great. They both suck. They're both there's none, one side's not good and one side's not evil, but they both suck. But the like Catholic type of people, they're not really Catholic, but they definitely are modeled after that. Yeah, they like build a huge ark and like send it out into space, and they all like fall asleep and looking for a new planet to go on. And then the atheists just send out one tiny ship with two androids that have a bunch of human embryos. And then they get to this planet first because the ship's smaller and faster, and they start raising these kids in like atheist android fashion. It's pretty interesting. And then the Catholic guys come, and then it's kind of like they start interacting on this new planet. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
Because they both have shows that were shot last year, right?
Must be. And it looks very expensive.
And we're just not going to have shows for a while, I guess.
That's probably going to be the case. Yeah. I recommend it. I think it has the same problem I have with a lot of shows where there might be more hours than the amount of content.
Totally.
But it's interesting enough, and the cinematography is amazing, and it's like a good sci-fi Ridley Scott, well shot Ridley Scott, and it's good. I like it. And
don't you feel like we should be beyond, like, for series that basically all series drop onto some kind of streaming platform?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't they just make the episodes as long as they feel like making them? Like why must they conform to like the standard timeline?
Yeah, I actually don't know how long these episodes. It feels like the episodes are different lengths, and maybe I'm making that up, but I think they are tailored to streaming services. I might be wrong about that, mm-hmm. but I agree with that. I think, like, could we even call these TV shows anymore? Right. It's like they're basically like 8-hour movies or whatever.
It's interesting, the whole, like, I remember when Netflix first started just dropping a whole season on their platform, and I remember trying to understand, like, well, then why, like, why even, like, segment them, or why, like, I don't know. It was weird to me, like, well, then what's an episode if you're going to make it all available all at the same time? I just thought, like, why make 13 episodes and not 10, or, what are the creative decisions that go into planning that? Whereas now I'm not suggesting that they do it differently. It's nice to get the whole season at once. But from a business point of view, I sort of understand The Mandalorian releasing it week to week a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because
people keep talking about it.
Yeah. And it means that they'll spend more time on your platform. And like if they came to Disney Plus for The Mandalorian and they can't get The Mandalorian right away, then they're going to spend time browsing the rest of the platform and getting addicted to it and staying on it. So
yeah,
makes sense to me.
I'm excited about Mandalorian. I think that's gonna be
The trailer looks good. I'm in,
it's just fun. It's fun. It's like Star Wars is mostly just dead except for this.
Yeah, I can't believe how fucking dead it is. Outside of this, I haven't heard people mention it.
It's true,
except for us.
It's like nobody's like, oh, I miss Rey. I miss.
I just want to go to a galaxy far, far away with Rey one more time.
Finn and Poe. Those are my favorite characters.
Imagine like anybody feeling that way. Maybe cynical at the time. Like, oh yeah, 40 years from now, Rey Skywalker is going to capture our imaginations.
Yeah, she'll come back, and Jimmy Smits will be back, and they'll all be together.
I do like seeing Jimmy Smits pop up in the flying chat.
Yeah, that was weird. It was weird when I saw that. We talked about that when we on the review lounge, but yeah, it's like it was weird that I was happy to see Jimmy Smits.
Yeah. Well, it feels like there's room still. Maybe Mandalorian will do it some. And I definitely think that the Clone Wars animated series did it. There's room to kind of what do you call it?
Rehabilitate.
Yeah, or, like, you know, you don't have to remake those movies, but since we've all seen them and we can build off of them, you can kind of improve their image a little bit by making stuff around them that that is better.
Yeah. And there has been a lot of good stuff. And I don't know if you can do that with the Disney stuff. We'll see.
It's too cynical.
I'm sure they'll try. And maybe it will succeed. Maybe there one day we'll all see Ray in something and be like, wow, Ray's back.
Maybe. I could probably get more on board with like a 50-year-old Ray than a 20-year-old Ray. So maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there might be, you know, who knows? I'm not leaving.
Yeah, that wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, I'm not leaving that door closed, but.
Fuck you. That was my other thought about the binging, the television binging is like, for a show like Better Call Saul, for me, I know everybody will disagree with me. I kind of like the process of watching the episode and thinking about it all week. And just being committed to that one episode and then looking forward to the next one. Like that, to me, that's a much more fun way to engage with the content than, you know, somebody like just making a week's worth of food and being like, eat it all.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. With the Better Call Saul, part of the fun was actually just talking to you about it. Like,
For sure.
Like afterwards, I'd be excited to see what you thought and call out those moments. And I think week to week, has its place. I know, like, so you, do you know that TV series The Boys?
Yeah. Yep.
That's
week to week, isn't it?
They changed to week to week. So they used to be like last year, the first season was a binge, I believe. Or it was not as well known that people basically binged it. Mm-hmm. Now this year they're doing week to week, and so now it's getting review bombed because of that. But it's like, but I actually like week to week better in some ways for this show, just because you can kind of do you know about the show? Like, what?
I know that it's like a kind of R-rated deconstruction of the superhero and stuff.
And again, that kind of makes me a little like, oh yeah, another deconstruction, but this is a really well done one. So
there was a while there where they were making that zombie movie every half a day, and then occasionally a really good zombie movie would come out. So what are you gonna do? My instinct is like, okay, the superhero, right? What is the superhero?
But they do a fun thing with it, and it's not like it is a drama, but it's not a straight drama all the time because it's like a Seth Rogen joint.
So he made it.
He's got his farts all over
it. his pudgy mitts.
He's got his pudgy mitts on it. There's some connection you can tell.
That's something that Brain said in one of the Pinky Elmira and the Brain episodes, that fat kid Rudy that Elmira loves, he was like up to something, and Brain goes, the pudgy hand of Rudy is all over this.
Hilarious. But yeah, so the pudgy hand of Seth Rogen's all over this, but it got some talented people, so it doesn't turn into just like a straight up Pineapple Express or something. But
do you see what I've done here?
You've done it. You've done all three of them. It's except done. For Lost Levels, which I don't count.
Should I play that for like 5 minutes just to hate it?
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's so bad. I agree.
It's too hard.
The moment that poison mushroom pops out,
it's not fun. It's like, we're not having fun when that poison mushroom comes out.
Totally.
You're here to trick me.
Yeah, you're just fucking with me.
Yeah. But anyway, I've been watching The Boys. I think it's really good, and it's week to week.
People say it's really good.
It's something I actually enjoy, and it's not like one of those series where I just watch it to be pretentious.
Yeah. You know, I have been thinking more about Watchmen since finishing it, and I actually think I hate it. I think it sucks.
I think I liked it when it first came out, and I think I talked about it on this podcast. Even it was kind of like, oh, it's really good. But yeah, well, the more I think about it, the more I don't like it.
It sucks. I mean, it's not all bad. There's some good stuff in there, but it's pretty uninteresting, I think, ultimately. Yeah. Especially like, I don't know, like going, I started to realize that almost everything about it that I like was
from The Watchmen.
From the first one. Yeah. this thing wasn't written by Alan Moore. Okay. Like, again, it's like a future season of The Simpsons. It's like, sorry, you're not that.
I agree. It has not aged well in my brain.
But I do think Zack Snyder did a pretty good job with the movie. I do.
Oh.
I don't think, I think probably there's somebody out there that could have done a better job, but
good
job.
I think, yeah, he definitely put his all into it. So
yeah. Yeah. Like I said last time, the 4-hour cut.
I got to watch that.
Really comes together in my opinion.
Maybe watch that. Well, you got anything else?
No, that's everything in my whole life.
Yeah, me too.
We're going to be working on Halloween stuff pretty soon. You know, I think on a very early episode of this podcast, I was like, oh, maybe like we could get ahead on the Halloween episode this year.
No, it's always the same every year. You should know better by now.
Yeah, I really should.
It's panic at late September.
and it's exacerbated by Matt, who is just trying to help. Don't they trick you here where you can't actually do this trick?
Like, they'll send you backwards. Not in this one, but one of the future ones, they start sending you backwards at warp zones where you're just like, it's like the poison mushroom. It's like, you're just not making this fun.
Yeah. You're just saying fuck you to the player.
Just
stupid latency. Matt will text me and be like, hey, so what are we doing? Because I really want to get started. And then instead of telling him like, oh, I'll get back to you and then you can do a thing, I'm always just like, we don't need you.
It's like not worth it.
Yeah, well, because I don't want to become entrapped in like, oh, you didn't tell me soon enough. Or I'm like, all right, we'll just figure something else out, I'm sure. And, last year's Falsegraph thing was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And Boxdemic, I think, is still like, it probably doesn't top Max Your Sense Theater, but it's close. I really like that one.
I like the Massacre at Jump's Place. Oh, that's probably my favorite.
Yeah, we're kind
Although of. Although the first one, too, is good because it was the
first one.
The first one.
that was back when like there were no subscribers, like none. Like,
yeah, we just did that for fun.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, I was like, anybody who does watch it is going to be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I wanted, yeah. I remember my vision for it was that like, it'd be John like driving around for a while and then just being like, is this Box Mac? What is this? And then, yeah. And then like, he's in a museum and.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was fun. That was a fun shooting day.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we did that all in a day. It was crazy.
What was the most fun one to shoot? Probably
I would say Mastery Science. Yeah,
that was the most like a movie.
Yeah,
location, and we had lots of actors and stuff.
I was thinking actually Mastery Science Theater.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that was fun because it was complicated, but it was in a controlled environment.
Yeah, that was really fun. It's fun being in a controlled environment. Yeah. And like abusing Matt by making him lift a giant noodle.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was hurting.
That was his. That and was I was like, do it again.
Do it again. That was his grandma's house.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, we really like shooting in a studio. We should get one.
Yeah, and then we like did that for a bit and
a lot of money.
What are you gonna do?
It was we made some fun studio cut. I'll always really enjoy the time we had a studio, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe someday when it makes sense.
Well, there you go. I beat a world in stupid lost levels.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, it wasn't the least fun thing I've ever done in my life.
Okay, yeah, it's Mario 1, but dumb.
Significantly better with the upgraded graphics. I'll give it that.
So what I don't like about this game is it like totally doesn't reward curiosity. So if you like go up into the rafters, it sends you back. It's like, ah, come on.
For sure.
Anyway, that's cool. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm really, this is, the fall is my time of year. I love it. Yeah. You know, pumpkin spice lattes and I fly through the sky together.
Well, I shot Having Fun up there in the fall, like at the perfect time in the fall.
Oh yeah.
And I, you know, when I was a kid, when I was 14 or so, when I first started getting into filmmaking, we would like that Devil's Pocket show and shit. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
We always shot in the fall for some reason. That was when we really, I don't know. I just associate the season with getting up early and like shooting something. And
all right, these super springs.
Yeah, the stupid dumb crap. But I, you know, so the Halloween special has kind of gotten to still be that, but. Since we had children, it's been a lot harder to figure it out. But I don't know, Boxdemic was still really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did the road trip last year. That was really fun too, actually. And we were able to kind of eventually figure out something unique to do with like the David Lynch ending.
Yes.
But this year, I don't know. I guess
we'll, dreamy.
We got dreamy. I guess this year it'll all be contingent on having a good script, which normally it doesn't take much to have a pretty funny script.
Yeah, especially if you have something to bounce off of.
Yeah. Yeah. John is having a get-together tomorrow.
Oh.
He's inviting people over for like 3 o'clock. He told me yesterday.
Oh, nice.
So, my struggle will be, it's like an alcoholic going to,
Oh, right.
Like, I basically really can't eat while I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, he'll have a bunch of obese people eating delicious food. I can't do it. But so yeah, I mean, I'll go, but I'll probably just bring my own food, or I won't, you know, I'll just decide I'm not eating.
Yeah, I'm going to my niece's birthday tomorrow. It's gonna be like COVID outside and all that stuff, but it's gonna be interesting because it's gonna be the first thing with two children in tow that we've been to. We haven't really adventured to a family gathering for obvious reasons. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I hope to see how that goes. Well, it was good hearing from you, and we'll do it again in a few weeks.
Yeah, you got through all the Marios that are relevant.
That was fun. And honestly, like playing on my laptop, I haven't really done this before. And it's like, it's pretty natural feeling. As long as you have a standard controller.
Yeah, I have a USB controller, but it's actually pretty good. I got it on Amazon a few years ago, but it's basically a Super Nintendo controller, and that's why I used it last week or 2 weeks ago, and it was like a perfectly amazing experience, even on a laptop.
Are you seeing this?
Is this?
And then I can't do anything.
Yeah, that's the. It's like they could have fixed that for Super Nintendo. You could go backwards. You know?
Yeah, like this is crap.
But they decided, oh, it's the mechanic. So
you know what I should do next time is, and I'll never be able to finish the game, but because it's too long. But I should show you that ROM hack. Mario 3 Mix.
Yeah, you should do that.
We'll play that next time. Did you? I'll ask this before we go. What was it like to watch and talk?
Honestly, I was just listening to you talk, and I didn't really watch. Because I knew I knew that I had to service our audio only listeners.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully I didn't and awe too badly while trying to tell stories and not dying. I think I held it together.
Yeah, but but the thing is, I did take in the visuals. I love the graphics. I love the tile set on this tree level. By the way, I love that tile set.
Oh yeah, that is nice. Kind of like it's like slightly. You know, that waffle pattern kind of.
Yeah, it's a pretty game. So I
am I already at another castle in another world?
You did it.
But, so this game's not that bad, but I think it gets way worse.
It gets way worse. Yeah. It keeps going too. They start getting to A's and B's and C's levels.
And it's not as though Mario 1 was that fun to begin with. So yeah, just making a horrible version of Mario 1. Like, oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't know. They didn't know how to make video games.
Mario they were just blows it away.
I know. It does. 4 years I even think Doki Doki Panic does, too.
I agree. I think Doki Doki Panic blows away Mario 1.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man.
Talk to you.
Good night.
Good night? Yes, always.